Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Captain Jim Palmer. I am the dream business coach. As you well know, this is Dream Business Radio, and I have a very special guest. John Morris is my guest. I have never met John. He was referred to me by a great friend of mine, Brad Zollis. He said, Jim, you have to interview John. Now, you know me, folks. A lot of people that come on my show, I either know them or know of their work. And I said, you know what? If Brad recommended John, I'm going to bring him on. It's so funny because in the green room right before we went live, I told John, I don't know too much. And usually I have pages and notes because I like to conduct first-class interviews. So I think this will be a first-class interview, but what I'm telling you is it's going to be slightly different than a usual Captain Jim interview. So, John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to do this show with you, and hopefully we're going to have a tremendous amount of fun.
I think we are, and I'm going to read some of your professional bio so we can set the stage. One of the things that annoys me with some of the podcast hosts is when they bring somebody on and looking forward to, and then they say, can you introduce yourself? I mean, for heaven's sakes, you're in my house. I'm going to introduce you.
Oh, and they want you to do the intro for their show as well. And you're thinking, I have no idea about your show.
I know. It's like, wow, dude, did you prepare? Anyway, not to get on that road. So, hey, folks, for two decades, this, and if you've heard the little bit of an accent, this Scottish artist, mentor, and advocate for mental health has illuminated the globe with his artistry, mentoring, and coaching. From enchanting portraits to landscapes and beyond, John's creations evoke joy universally. Beyond his artistic prowess, he serves as a guiding light for creative entrepreneurs, which really caught my attention, instilling his mantra of creative business made simple to unlock their potential. John's journey, marked by resilience and perseverance, is a testament to his indomitable spirit. It's like reading the Old Testament. You're throwing these huge words in there with me. Despite facing adversities like temporary blindness and learning disabilities, he forges ahead undeterred in his mission to spread positivity. Inspired by luminaries like Wayne Dyer and Alan Watts, John channels their wisdom to uplift others, infusing his social media presence with humor and insight. I can already tell it's going to be a lot of fun, John, because man, seriously, I don't know who wrote that. Maybe you did, but those are some big words for me on an early Friday morning.
It captures attention for sure.
You know, what's funny about that is sometimes I'll do two or three. I'll just kind of stack them up. And then, you know, I'm on the phone or on my camera all day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, coaching my clients. And sometimes I get tongue-tied, and sometimes I don't have time to pre-read the intro two or three times like I'd like to do, and it really trips me up. But
well, you did a great job there, my friend.
Well, thank you. So you're Scottish. Are you in Scotland, or where do you live?
So I was actually born and raised in Huddersfield, West Yorkshire, which is in England, but I've lived in Scotland now for the past 14 years. I originally came up here as a youth minister, and after years of doing that, there was a whole shift that happened in my life, and it was literally, you know, again, I'd been running business at the same time, and it was just like, okay, that was the natural evolution of where I was going to go next. But I've lived here on the West Coast now for the past 14 years, you know, and we love it, to be honest with you.
Wow. You know, my dad's mom and sisters were from Scotland. So I think that makes me like 1%. I don't know what it is, but it's
super cool because the majority of interviews that I do or the people that I speak to, somewhere somebody has a Scottish story somewhere, yeah. Like they're related to somebody, and then they will usually say, did you know them? And I'm like, Scotland can be a pretty big place.
Yeah. So John, obviously I read you face temporary blindness.
Yeah.
What, tell me about that.
So it's a condition called amaurosis, and I very first had it. I was going up to university. I was maybe 22, 23 years old, Sitting there on the train, beautiful morning, like what we've got today, and literally my sight went from my left eye and then into my right eye, and I'm sitting there on a train going from one destination to the next, literally completely blind. It's literally just, you know, if you remember the old style TVs before, you know, the main programs of the day would come on, you'd have all that sort of white noise and fuzzy kind of thing. That's literally what it's like. And doing the research that I've done with amaurosis, it literally is the optical nerve spasming. So basically, I can be having a conversation like what we're having now, and the optical nerve will just start spasming and I will lose sight completely. Now, it doesn't hurt. It's not anything, you know, directly to worry about. And I know that it goes away, but it's certainly, for the first couple of times, it was like, oh my goodness, what on earth is going on here? And, you know, I've now lived with it for close to 20 years. It doesn't happen all that often, but it can have obviously major implications and major effects. So nowadays I wear a blue light cancelling overlay on my glasses, mm-hmm. and that stops my eyes from getting tired as much, especially when you're working on screens, and you know this yourself, because it's the blue light that's really toxic for your eyes. So that's one of the ways that we've really worked to combat amaurosis. But again, it's not something that's painful. It's just something that when it happens, you know, you can feel it coming on. But it's a pretty inhabiting thing for sure.
Did you get your sight back before you got to your destination on the train?
I think I did. Yes, certainly in one eye. And it was enough that I could see, you know, my way going around and everything. But it's happened a number of times when I used to drive. There was an incident that happened where my sight had gone. Thankfully, I knew enough to pull in and, turn off the engine, everything else. But, you know, at that time, when you're going through it, it's like, oh, boy. So I never got licensed to drive. My wife drives. I go everywhere by foot if I need to. But nowadays, working from home, I seldom need to leave the castle.
I think actually losing your sight while you're behind the wheel is probably not a good thing.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. So that's obviously one of the challenges that that you have faced. And I'm soon to be 66 here, but when I was 41, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I didn't know if it was stage 2 or stage 3. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of my story now is, I first of all, when you get told you have melanoma, and you go, I guess that's nothing, right? and the very next day after my diagnosis, Maureen Reagan, ex-President Reagan's daughter, died. And of course, it's melanoma. And mm-hmm. all the morning news shows are talking about how deadly it is. And I'm like, man, then I started freaking out. But I lived for about a month when I didn't know if my chances of being alive in 5 years were average of 80% or 50%. I had 4 kids still at home. My youngest twin girls were 13. I didn't know if I'd see them graduate high school. The reason I'm saying that is, when people face adversity, it gave me such unbelievable clarity about what's important. And it's so weird. Stuff that used to really piss me off, John, doesn't piss me off anymore. Not that I don't get annoyed if somebody cuts me off or, you know, or just does something stupid. But for the most part, it's like, I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know what's important to me. And everything else is kind of noise. Do you know what I mean?
So absolutely.
Has that really helped you have, you know, because it seems like you've got unbelievable clarity about your life and what you're doing and what your contribution is.
Absolutely. I mean, I have heard for a long time. And again, when people say, what is your purpose for being here right now? For me, I do a lot of stuff in the business world, do a lot of stuff as an entrepreneur, but it's the historical fiction novels that I write that are soon to be released with publishers. And that's currently where we're at right now. We're not looking to self-publish if we can avoid it. But that's my reason for being here, because I see things like a film playing out in my head with unbelievable clarity, like what you've just said. Another one of the battles that I faced, and cancer and amaurosis, I mean, all these things, like you say, are real life changes. They are really great for clarification. But colitis is basically ulcers on your intestines. It can bleed, it can perforate your bowel, it can burst your bowel, but it can also become cancerous if it's not properly treated. Mm-hmm. So you, again, like yourself, you know, I mean, I was told this maybe at 20, probably around the same time, 21, 22 years old. And that's not a great thing for a 22-year-old, you know, university student to be told that you may get bowel cancer, you may get intestinal cancer, you may get, you know, all these different things, but just put it to the back of your head. That's what they said to me. And you're like, wow, okay. Yeah. You know, but again, I found such level of clarity. The reason that I bring that up is because recently, within the last couple of months, I'd had another flare-up of colitis, and this time it was more severe. So I try really never to get angry about anything. I don't always succeed at that. But I found when I get really angry or frustrated about something, it's like being unplugged. Well, with this one, there was a flare-up of colitis. There was, you know, swelling. But then you start to find out that it affects more than just your stomach. It affects your muscles, your bones, your eyes, your brain. It can lead to more spasms of anxiety and depression as well. But again, I kind of clarified, and I'm sure your listeners will be familiar with the teachers like Alan Watts, who, yes, you know, again, is like two steps down from Jesus. You know, he is one mm-hmm. of, or was one of the most influential spiritual leaders of all time. And what I found with him was something that he said, the moment that you close your eyes and the moment I close my eyes for the final time, it's like we would never, ever have existed. And the same with your friends. And then it was Neil Tyson deGrasse that had said, you know, 300 billion trillion years from now, nothing that you see, hear, touch, taste or smell will exist. So I put all that into my head. And what filtered through was what the old spiritual teachers talked about, that everything is absolutely, utterly meaningless. Now, people get really upset when I say this, but I'm like, if you actually listen to the words, there is such freedom in there, because it means no matter what happens to you, you can go and write your books, you can go and make mistakes, you can go and have your fun, you can go and do your paintings, you run your business, whatever else. You've got one go around at this. And it is for you that you're experiencing this life. If you touch other people along the journey, which we all do in one form or another, it's incredible. But for me, there was utterly such freedom that it was just like, okay, you know, just go and do this and relax about it, because none of it matters. It's super, super cool. You know, and everything is divine, don't get me wrong. And you know, and there's so much more to that that if we had more time, we'd be able to talk about. But it's when you get those moments of clarity and everything, when you've got dyspraxia, dyslexia, colitis, and amaurosis, all four combined, and you're still running business and you're still saying, okay, fine, I've got that, but I'm still going through, you know, I'm still doing this. That's when you learn that the only two things that you will ever need to know is, are you going to do this, whatever it is, or are you not? And that's really, everything else is fluff.
You know, you said you got one go around. One of the things, when I used to be speaking and doing my own events, and then even today when I'm helping my clients, the way I describe that is, you are on the main stage right now. This is not a dress rehearsal. The curtain is going to come down.
Yeah.
And there's no do-overs, right?
Absolutely.
So this is it. You know, and part of that is when I'm trying to help my clients stop playing small ball.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll just put my toe in the water. You know? How about jump in the deep end of the pool? Time is running out here. Yeah. You know?
Well, I found that with the novels. It was like, you know, again, a guy with dyslexia and dyspraxia. You know, my grammar was absolutely terrible. But, you know, and obviously, again, we could talk about this at great length. But how all that came about was, it started as an art history docudrama. We had lockdown, of course, that changed everything. And I felt very much on my heart, God saying to me, write these books and write them as novels. And I was like, okay, now rather than saying, well, I've never written a novel before in my life, God, what do I do? What do I do? It's like, study that which you desire to become. So I sat under some of the best minds and literacy in the world, past and present. And I absorbed every single day. I did the exact same with stocks and shares. I did the exact same with business and AI and all the other things that I do. And again, I studied and I studied and I studied. And eventually, you know, after all this time, you have got now some of what are being vetted as some of the most important historical documents that actually exist in this modern era. So that's why it's so important when we're looking for agents that we have the right agent and everything else that's there. But like you said, you get one go around about this. Don't die with your music still in you. Don't die with the spirits of all of those great ideas, you know, coming to you for life. And then on your deathbed, they say you were too scared to actually do something about it. Do whatever it is that you want to do, you know, study it, do it.
So, John, I don't know you. I'm guessing you've been a creative type. People, I think, are born with creative minds. They think they want to dream up stuff and build stuff. So you're a creative mind first. What led you into the business world, so to speak?
So sort of around the age of maybe 17, I was working in a couple of jobs, and I'd done a lot of odd jobbing and bits and pieces at that point. And it just didn't seem to fit. I didn't seem to fit. And this is, you know, the story that a lot of people, you know, will tell and, you know, have the same thing. And I just decided I didn't want to work a 9-to-5 job. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If that's your path, that's fine. But for me, it was like, I don't like the office environment enough. I don't like the people enough, more often than not. You know, the
and the confinement of just being where you need to be for at where you need to be and when and all that. Yeah. That's so anti-creative.
It's well, ridiculous. Also, not only that, but doing the same thing 250 times a day. I mean, if you're in marketing, that's your job, that's your role. And that's what you do 7 days a week. You know, it gets to the point that you're just like, oh my goodness. I mean, nowadays, my day is so varied. Any day, you know, it's incredible. And I love the variety. If I was just to write all the time, I'd go insane. If I was to paint all the time, I'd go insane. You know, so that's really for me where all that started, you know, 20 years ago before a lot of this, you know, stuff really exploded. I know you'll, you know, sort of remember back to that time as well, you know, but I just had this vision of myself, you know, as much bigger than what I would have been if I'd been an employee. And, you know, it's still growing. It's still developing. There's been a number of challenges and changes over the time, but I've now got such clarity, as we talked about, and I think that's going to be the theme of this show, that, you know, I've got such clarity of who I am and what it is that I'm doing and who it is I'm speaking to. And I wrestle with that whole thing, you know, a lot of the time as well of, you know, that the fame and fortune thing, it isn't real, but yet we, you know, we chase after the things that we can't take with us versus that spiritual life, the quiet life, the silent life, you know, that I really enjoy. And it's making sure that you're not influenced too much by these so-called influencers that are, you know, walking car crashes. So I think that's one of the reasons that I really stay in the game nowadays is to combat, you know, the Andrew Tates of this world, the Cody Sanchez of this world, the lunatic of Grant Cardone, you know, and all these other folks that are, you know, psychopathic in a lot of their behaviors.
How do you feel about failure? And I only use the word failure to illustrate the opposite of success, I guess. Yeah. But failure is like if you're building a business or you have a successful business and you're starting another one. I call it, you know, creating multiple streams of revenue.
Yeah.
But something doesn't work out. And one of the things that I help my clients with, it hasn't worked out yet. I'm not saying we shouldn't pivot and go the other way. But when you create something and you start marketing it and 3 months later it hasn't brought you six figures and you're like, screw this. I'm like, no. What is it about failure that just causes people such consternation?
So I think there's two things. First of all, I mean, I've been in the industry now 20 years and, you know, again, in the art industry, getting to six figures when you're dealing with real life is very difficult. That's the first thing. The second thing is, from my point of view, something that Wayne Dyer said that I've stuck with for many, many years, there is no failure. You're just producing results. So if you try something and it doesn't work, try something else again. And that might be getting funding for your projects. You know, again, it was like, okay, that didn't work out. Let's try something else. That didn't work out. Let's try something else. And the ideas will always come to you. I think one of the biggest problems that people have, and especially teenagers that I've worked with in the past, they all say, well, I really want to try this, but what if I fail? And I always come back to the whole thing of, again, that there is no failure. You're just, you know, producing results. But more importantly, it's this whole notion and this idea of, well, what if I fail and people laugh at me? What if I fail and this just doesn't happen? What if I put all this time in and it just doesn't happen for me? And I said, well, first of all, nobody's going to laugh at you because nobody's really watching what you're doing. Those who love you and support you, they're going to be disappointed for you. But at the same point, when they see you get back up and they see you continue to fight and they can see you, you know, not giving up, that's what makes you. Like I have had so many times that life has literally made me want to stick my face in the food blender because of frustration and just annoyance and dealing with people and so on, so on, so on. And every single time, and it's the fighter in me from the wrestling background, from the MMA, from all the other things that I've done, you know, it's always been get back up. You're not done yet. You've got one more round in you. You're not dumb. You've got the ideas coming to you. And if you don't, they will come to you because you're a divine being having a temporary human experience and you're not here by mistake, regardless of what you may believe and think about yourself, but you're not. And it is that whole thing when you start to break through and you tell people, look, there is no failure. There's just producing results. It takes the pressure off. It takes the burden off to the point that they start doing it as a scientific experiment. And you can almost say to them, look, your job in this is to try and fail. Because if you try and fail somewhere along the way and somewhere along the path, you're going to find the answer to succeed. And I've gone over it over again, you know, with agents, and that's a prime example. Nowadays, I'm trying to do something the same when I started in the art business that is immensely difficult in terms of getting an agent for your work. But again, people say that to me. I'm like, and, you know, the art business was really difficult, but I've done that for 20 years, you know, yeah, I still do that to this day. So it's not a case of, you know, can you do this? It's a case of how do you do this? And once you figure that out, you're in the 1%.
Yeah, for most of my life, I had a really deathly afraid of public speaking. Almost didn't graduate high school because of it.
Wow.
Then when I started writing books, I've written 7 books, by the way, and when I started getting invitations to speak, and I knew intuitively it was a great way to get new business and get more exposure, but I kept lying, oh, I'm traveling, thanks for the invitation, you know? Well, I finally decided I really need to fix this because it would be a phenomenal way to grow my coaching business. And I did like Dale Carnegie, Toastmasters. I went to hypnosis. I did everything. One of the things that helped me was the fact I forget who it was, but it said, can you describe your worst nightmare? Like you get up there and you fail. There was actually a cartoon growing up where there's a guy standing behind a lectern and the camera's like behind him and it's like he peed his pants and he's throwing up and he's on this, you know, the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And I described, he goes, and then he says, and then what?
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's pretty bad. But then what? Do you go home? Yeah, I didn't go. Does your wife and your kids still love you? Does God still love you? And I'm like, yeah, so maybe it's not as bad. What I had stopped, when I stopped and thought about the worst thing that could happen, it wrecked me. And then when you just keep going to the next step, well, screw that. Everybody messes up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, first of all, if you're getting opportunities to do public speaking, I would always say take them because, again, it makes you a much better communicator. And being a communicator is how we get our message across. That's why I love doing these podcasts. I love doing radio. I love doing the TV stuff as well. But it's... People often put so much pressure on themselves thinking that people want them to fail when the reality is... People actually want you to succeed. And this was something that was taught to me in the wrestling industry. People want you to succeed. The fans are not there to watch you fail. You know, and when you've got people behind you that say, you know, come on, we want you to succeed, we want you to do this, you know, come on, come on, come on. You know, it takes something pretty catastrophic for them to look at it as a failure. So I think that's sometimes keeping that in your mind and remembering where you're at as well. I mean, my brain works in a very different way now, you know, compared to what it used to, because I was terrified of public speaking. I was terrified of being on stage. So I went and became a natural bodybuilder. And I just imagined that I was sitting out in the audience and I'm watching myself. So I'm not actually physically in my mind or spiritually, at least, there. And that for me was one of the biggest things that ever transpired for me. And I always go back to it, as long as I know what I'm talking about, as long as I know what I'm doing, then at the end of the day, it's an easy, easy day for me, you know, and that's the importance of it. But again, it's that confidence of knowing that you know what you're doing.
I mean, I thank God that I got over that and he pushed me to get over it, because I've spoken to hundreds of people. I put on my own 3-day live events, which have made this life possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke for an hour in front of about 300 podiatrists and closed $60,000 in business in an hour.
Wow.
I mean, that skill is so important.
Yeah.
One thing, gosh, I'm down to about 5 or 6 minutes. I could really talk to you for a long time, as you've indicated. The interesting thing that I want to know, because I really respect your brain in the short time I've gotten to know you. The thing about creative people, I do believe, and I know this personally because I'm really good friends with another creative entrepreneur, but the creativity side loves the collaboration, talking about stuff, growing, making things better. But the type A personality says, this is mine, or I'm in charge. Somebody has to make the final decision. But yet when you get two creative types that are used to running their own show, that's where it can run amok far as moving it to the next level, which might be like a professional partnership. Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've experienced that on both sides. So there's one business partnership I've got that's Teen Life Coaching. You know, myself and Laurie Bischoff, you know, I tend to be the more creative one, but again, the more business-minded one. She's the one that if you tell her, again, what you need to do and everything, she's great at doing it and she'll go and do it and phenomenal. In our own businesses, we've had both myself and Marcus, who are both artists, both very creative, both very business-minded, very similar. And we have had, when we were creating Creative Business Made Simple on YouTube, literally he had one idea for it and I had another idea for it. And I think you really where it came down to, you know, the wire was, you've always got to remember who's the one that's writing the checks, who's the one whose name is above the door. Who's the one who has the final say? And I just remind them, I'm like, look, and this is in the nicest way possible. You know, I'm the one who has to answer for all of this stuff. If it goes well, great. If it fails and goes terribly, I've still got to answer to that to the investors. You know, you guys can walk away at the end of the day. I can't. Yes. That's, and I said, you're in a great position to be able to do that. But, you know, and that really takes the load off when you remind people, look, you know, you may have this idea. It may be a great idea. It may be something we'll try down the road, but for now, it's not something that we're going to look at, you know, but you have the final say. That's really what it comes down to. It's not always a partnership because a partnership is obviously equal measures of the same pie, you know, and you've got to remind that sometimes to people, but I try never to pull out the business card, you know, I'm the boss kind of thing, unless I absolutely have to.
I had one professional partner. I've had lots of collaborations in 22 years, but I had one professional partnership I started with a very good friend, smart marketer. Mm-hmm. But we respected and valued our friendship so much. I think we spent about $2,000 paying a lawyer, which we both hated to do. But we said, I said, help us figure out all the things that can go wrong and how do we prevent them? And he said, what happens if this? What happens if, Jim, what happens if you figure out, I just worked 80 hours a week on this and you worked 40 and you're feeling bad. What happens then? In the end, we spent about a year. We each put in about 20 grand, decided it wasn't going to work. But it dissolved itself according to the plan that we had. And we're still great friends today.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, sometimes you can't just trust the handshake and the nod in the relationship. I mean, sometimes you can, but we said, sometimes it goes bad. If it goes bad, let's make sure we can get through it.
Definitely.
And that was a very smart thing we did, even though we weren't smart enough to make it run, but it was a good experience anyway. Oh my gosh, John, this has been such a fabulous interview. I'm so grateful to Brad Zales for connecting us. Do you have your own podcast?
Yes, absolutely. We've got a couple, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should be interviewing tons of people, and I'm glad to hear you are.
Well, I used to do that with the Mind, Body, and Soul podcast, and then I found it was far easier being on other people's shows. So we've got Creative Business Made Simple, which is for, again, artists, authors, entrepreneurs, coaches, musicians that are looking to start building their business but have no idea how to do it. And then from there, we've got Whispers of the Highland, which is going to be coming out very soon. It's a sort of prequel to our novel series, but it's a mystery thriller podcast. And then the final one we've got is Inside the Cinematic Mind, where I put my psychological skills to the test as we start unraveling characters from film. And we've got some real belters for season two, like Gollum and Matthew Perry and so many others, so many really, really cool things. So if you want to know really behind the character that they're portraying and they're playing, then that's the show for you.
That's awesome. So, well, you named a bunch of things, but what would be one place where my listeners and could go find out more about you and connect with you?
So the best place to reach out to me to find out all that we've got on is thejohnmorris.co.uk. That's our main website. You can find links to absolutely everything that we've got on there. One central hub for everything, thejohnmorris.co.uk. That's the place to be.
Awesome. I wish you continued good health. I hope you continue to see, especially when the stop sign's coming up around the corner.
Absolutely.
And good health and good success. It was a real pleasure to meet you, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Yes, sir. Hey, folks, that wraps up a really special interview. I'd suggest you roll the tape back, which is old language, and re-listen to this again with John Morris. And he just said where you can connect with him. The real, I'm going to blow it now. John, I'm going to right back to you. What is it? The real John Morris or just the John Morris?
TheJohnMorris.co.uk.
There you go. Thank you so much. And mine's a little easier. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com, getjimpalmer.com. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview right here on Dream Business Radio. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. You take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.